At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein stands ready to take your finance and investment questions and share his unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to the latest edition of InvestTalk. And this is Friday, August 23rd, 2024. And we are here to close the week strong and help you become a better investor with that next step in your journey. And that journey is never ending. Just like life, right? You're never, hopefully you're never satisfied. You're always wanting to push forward, get better at every endeavor, whether that is your personal, your family life, your career, your health, whatever it is. I think we all should be pushing to get better in all of those areas. And this is the place to get better when it comes to your money and your investments. And so that's what we call it, Invest Talk. We talk about a lot on each show. And most importantly, we answer your questions. And that's what this show is mainly about. I have topics that will bring you actionable material that will help you as an investor. But what's more vital are the calls that you make each and every weekday. And that is that's going to be our next goal. So coming up in this hour, we have a lot to unpack to close the week. We had a Jackson Hole speech today and just a lot of market movement. So we're going to look at the market performance here in a little bit and run down some show topics. But as usual, we will tackle our first caller question now.
Hey, good morning. I've got a question on Snowflake. I bought it early on. I've held it. It hasn't done anything. Saw Warren Buffett just sold his stake. And I'm wondering, is it worth holding for the future or should I cut my losses? Very small portion of my portfolio, but like your opinion. Love the show. Guys, do a great job. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, looking at Snowflake, and this was a very hyped name back in 2020, and they were headed towards profitability, and they are profitable, and that's a good thing. However, that profits growth has waned this year, or this for full fiscal year. Earnings are supposed to fall 39%, and analyst estimates continue to go down. Even though top line growth is good, you're actually seeing the last two quarters, earnings is turning negative. Why? Well, they're a cloud-based provider of data that allows corporate users to store and analyze data. So it was a big data play, but you know, do they have any secret sauce? And the reality is probably not. And so the trends in the stock are pretty bad. Relative strength 9, maybe relative strength at in the single digits. It's one of the worst stocks over the last year. And like you said, I didn't know that Warren Buffett had owned it and sold it, but this is definitely a name you need to move on from. And a great example of an IPO where there's a lot of hype and it typically gets overpriced. And over time, financial gravity sets in. And that's what you're seeing here. So even based on next year's earnings, supposed to be 92 cents, it's $115 stock. It's over 100 times forward-looking earnings with negative earnings growth. This is headed in the wrong direction very fast. So I would run for the hills on Snowflake. Thanks for the call. 8899 chart, 8899-242-7-8 is how you get through and ask your question over the next 45 minutes. And we will talk about some recent numbers out of the FTC and fraud and who should cover those fraud losses. And just talking about fraud detection and how to think about avoiding scams. There's a lot of scams out there. 2023 was a big year for scams, and it's vital that you avoid these problems that can really throw a giant wrench in your financial life. And it's a lot more people than you think. Millions of people each year are subject to some type of scam. And so we'll look at that. In addition, we have some other topics on the docket. One is around the rise in electricity demand and the fact that, hey, it's coming from somewhere. And guess what? It's from areas that most environmentalists would not love to see. So we'll look at that. And then also deglobalization. It's a buzzword and we use it from time to time. How real is it? And we'll look at some of the data that might tell you whether it's strong, weak, or mild. And so we're going to look at that data as well. So those are the things on the docket for me, but most importantly, your voice bank questions and your live calls. So the voice bank questions will be on Celsius and Dutch Bros, B-R-O-S. And then we also have questions submitted via the comment section over on our YouTube channel. And of course, we welcome your live calls. Once again, those are most important. So don't hesitate to pick up the phone and give us a call at 888-99-CHART. Now we're going into a short break, and on the other side, I will touch briefly on today's market activity and then play more of your questions here on Invest Talk.
Invest Talk callers make each podcast unique.
I was calling about Intel, if it's worth holding on to or should I sell it.
Their questions are curious.
I have saved up around $80,000. And I was wondering what I should do to make it grow.
Careful.
So I'm just wondering, is this a value trap? Because it looks like it's gone down quite a bit.
Concerned.
It's taken quite the tumble today. I've been trying to get out of this position for a while. I think I waited too long.
And clever.
Looking at Dominion Energy, Inc., does seem to be situated in some areas of expanding population.
And Justin Klein and now Luke Guerrero are always ready with their unbiased answers.
And this is, it looks like a classic example of chasing yield. Don't chase the yield.
Next 12 months price to earnings is around 30. I just don't see it at this price.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk now with 59 million downloads. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch Invest Talk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Now let's take a quick look at the market today. It was a decidedly positive day overall. You had the S&P was up, let's see, about 64 points, a little over 1%. It was really small and mid caps, though, that that did very, very well. Small cap value up nearly 3% today. Small cap growth about 2.25%. Mid caps on the value side up 1.5%. And mid caps on the growth side up about 1.37%. So the value side certainly outperformed. Large cap value up 1.14%, large cap growth only up 0.8%. So this was really on the back of the Jackson Hole speech by Jerome Powell that basically said rate cuts are on the horizon. And so the dollar was weak, and that really brought life to the industrial space as well as a lot of commodity plays, et cetera. So that was the market today. And, you know, the big movers of the big names were NVIDIA and Tesla, but those are kind of bounce backs after sell-offs. But overall, it was a fairly broad-based positive day. Financials probably did the best overall. And let's see, what other manufacturing? I'm just looking at a heat map of the S&P 500. Yeah, so energy did well once again. Retail did fairly well on top of that. So pretty interesting day in markets. But once again, this is really was more led by those smaller names. And I've said this before, if the dollar weakens, that's going to help the domestic producers as well as lower interest rates. Remember, those smaller names tend to have tougher balance sheets and lower cost of capital will help them more than those large names who, you know, they have good balance sheets. They don't, the cost of capital, cost of debt doesn't really impact their business overall. And so that's why I think you saw that continued strength out of small and medium-sized businesses. And I think that will continue as we go forward through the balance of the year. Now, I hope you've been telling your friends about the Invest Talk podcast being available in video form over on YouTube, and we get questions submitted over there. So let's answer one now. Oscar Robello says, I own Stanley Black & Decker, and that is SWK, and it has been consolidating for a while, no new lows, and jumping on the last earnings call. Should I add or sell? I think it's a good company to play the expected increase in house renovations. Yeah, I mean, Stanley Black & Decker is probably the most well-known, one of the most well-known tool makers, especially for your kind of average person. And their business fell off in 2023. They went from pre-pandemic, they were earning about $8.40 a share in 2019. Then up to $10.59 in 2021 as everyone was at home, you know, DIY projects, buying tools to, you know, fix up their houses and expand their offices, et cetera. And then earnings fell off. This is a good example of how you can have those one-time events and you don't want to extrapolate those type of anomalies. You want to look at what is trend earnings of the business. And you know, the issue is that you continue to see it struggle to trend back towards $8 per share in earnings. If it gets back there, it's definitely cheap. But this year it's supposed to earn $4.20, about a 25 P ratio. If you go by next year's earnings of 561, it's about a 20 times. So I kind of like that things are improving. Analysts' estimates for this year and next year are all going up. And then you have the dividend yield at about 3.25%. And it certainly can't afford that. So, you know, from a technical perspective, it is getting stronger. And I think this is a solid play, you know, with the hope and the idea that, you know, yes, their profitability isn't what it was, but I don't think anything really damaged the brand that tells me, you know, it can't get back to where it was. I think it's just maybe people front loaded their purchases of tools, for example, and maybe aren't buying any in the near term. But it's a good business with a pretty good balance sheet and good free cash flow, about $1 billion on a $15 billion market cap. That's pretty solid. So I wouldn't mind adding to it. Just don't go overboard just in case they don't get back to that $8 in earnings anytime soon. All right, now let's keep things moving and pivot back to the Invest Talk Voice Bank. It never closes, so call anytime at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin, Luke, this is Nathan from Texas. I was calling today about Dutch Brothers. The stock symbol is BROS, as in brothers. There was a call a few weeks back about this stock, and I think Luke posted that call. And at the time, he felt like the stock was overpriced. But it's recently taken quite a bit of a drop, and long term, it looks like it's finally starting to get on an uptrend and gone back to its baseline and had a pretty hard fall. So I'm wondering if now would be a good time to get in. It's starting to see these Dutch Brothers stores pop up in different parts of Texas. I'm just curious about maybe this may be an opportunity. Thanks.
All right, looking at Dutch Bros, and it has fallen from the mid-40s all the way down to the low 30s now, 31 and change at the close today. And this is a name that has had pretty good growth. It's a recent IPO. But what you're seeing is going forward, expectations of earnings are slowing. And so it's trading at a high multiple, and that's why Luke said it was overvalued, because even based on forward-looking earnings of 40 cents or 47 cents next year, that's a $31 stock. You're talking about 60 plus times forward-looking earnings. That's very, very expensive, even with this solid growth. And one issue I have with it is that the cash flow is negative. Yeah, you're getting top-line growth, and they're opening more stores, but that doesn't translate to a great business. The return on equity is still 3.5%, just not great. And let me tell you a story. And this is a perfect example of why you don't just look and say, okay, they're opening more stores. That means it's a great investment. It doesn't mean it's a bad investment. It just takes deeper thinking than that. Okay. I remember this is the 90s. Okay. I remember there was a chain called Boston Market. It's still around. But it was, they serve, you know, meatloaf and turkey. It was kind of like Thanksgiving dinner, but a year round. Okay. Very good. Probably not that healthy, but, you know, they were growing. And they grew so fast because the demand was so high that they over-indebted themselves. They didn't think about cannibalization of stores. And they eventually grew way too fast. And they went bankrupt because they just didn't do it in a smart way. So it's not just about opening stores and finding growth. It's about doing it in a consistent way that produces solid profits. And this Dutch Bros hasn't done that yet. And it's not to the level where, from a valuation standpoint, where it makes sense. So I'm not saying they're going to go bankrupt or anything. I just don't think that this is a valuation I'd be buying in at. The technicals are still kind of meh. Something to watch, but is nowhere close to a buy quite yet. They're moving into a break. Still to come on this podcast, I'll tackle more of your voice bank calls and our main focus point. And it's Friday, and I'll share the new a glimpse from the newest KP Premium newsletter. So stay with me and give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
You've got finance and investment questions, and Justin Klein is ready to provide his unbiased answers. Call now or anytime, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, let's talk a little bit about fraud. And the FTC came out with a new report about 2023 and the amount of fraud that was perpetrated on consumers, amounting to $10 billion in loss to fraud in 2023. That's a 14% increase over the losses reported in the previous year, 2022. And consumers reported losing more money to investment scams than any other, 4.6 billion of that 10 billion. Okay. That's the largest category in total losses. And that's a 21% increase from 2022. And the second highest reported loss came from what are called imposter scams, meaning somebody's posing as usually a government entity when they're really not. Okay. And that amounted for 2.7 billion. So right there, you're talking about nearly three quarters are those two types of scams. And a lot of it comes from transferring money from your bank account and the cryptocurrency scams that are out there. Those are the main two that account for most of the scams. Now, the FTC received 2.6 million fraud complaints last year. Now, the most common scam was the imposter scam. And that was, but there were a significant increase in reports of both business and government imposters, right? So saying, hey, I'm from a business, or hey, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help, or I need X, Y, and Z from you. And people would just blindly trust it. Okay. So that was the number one. So watch out for that. Just in the number one total types of scams, imposter is number one. Online shopping issues were the second most commonly reported fraud category, followed by prizes, sweepstakes, and lotteries. So when you think you're going to get a big prize, you're not, okay? It's just a scam. Another big change in 2023 was that email became the most common method that scams were perpetrated. I've seen this as of late. It's just the sophistication of the type of emails that come into my inbox are becoming much better. I mean, there's some, a very common one is where it looks like it's coming from one of my employees and they're asking to change their direct deposit information for their paycheck. And it looks very, very real. Looks very, very real. And if I wasn't careful, then I certainly, it certainly could fool somebody. And that's probably the area everyone needs to focus on the most. It's so easy, especially with AI, to kind of game how these scams are played, because they do it enough and they figure out which works, and then they continue to do the things that work more often. Okay. Now, what's interesting is that phone calls are the second most commonly reported contact method for fraud last year as well. So it's not just digital. It's not via text or emails. It's also straight up phone calls. Hi, I'm somebody from the government or from this company. You know, we're having this issue. And that is very common as well. So that's second on the list. Now, in 2023, there are more than 1 million reported of identity thefts received through the FTC's identitytheft.gov website. So that's very common as well, where we've had clients like that, where they call us, say, my identity's been stolen. We kind of freeze everything for them while they're solving that. But it happens, you know, and you need to be very careful with your data. Now, the FTC, for example, will never demand money. A government will never demand money. They'll never make threats. They never to transfer money. Whenever you're transferring money, you're ever wiring money, make sure that you talk to the person. You know exactly what you're dealing with. I've seen one where it was very close. This was actually a landlord at our old office. And he was about to buy a property, and he was texting with his broker, who was, you know, they're going through escrow, and the broker texted him the wire instructions for the deposit and to go into escrow and make the transaction. And he went to the bank and he made the transfer. He got lucky though, because one of the numbers was off, and so the wire didn't go through. And so what he did was he called his broker and he said, "Hey, I missed the number. You know, sorry, I'm going to go and redo the wire." And the broker said, or his agent or broker says, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, you texted me the wire instructions." And he said, "No, I didn't." So somehow the fraudster knew that he was buying a home and got a hold of, be able to control the phone number of his real estate agent, and almost stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from him. He got lucky. He just switched up a number on it on accident. And so, you know, that just shows you have to be very, very careful when you're looking at these frauds these emails and moving money, because it's very, very common, very easy to get duped in today's world. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this topic: understanding trust, secure your wealth and legacy. Understanding the fundamentals of trust planning is essential for anyone seeking to develop a comprehensive estate management strategy, as trust can be tailored to meet specific financial goals and family circumstances. That story is Monday, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I'm Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Imagine learning from the best without the years of struggle. On my podcast, I sit down with stars like Montel Jordan and Sarah Blakely to share the hard-earned lessons that can save you time and effort on your path to success. Ready to speed up your success story? Listen to Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
Weekend is here, or almost here, but you've got finance and investment questions, so step up and call in. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, my name is Bob from Cincinnati, and I'm looking at Selfie. If I own it and have owned it probably from the high down to where it is now, and just wondering if this is a time I should just cut my losses and get out, or if there's anything here. I look at it like Monster, another great drink company, and Celsius is a little bit more catering towards health conscious individuals, but I just don't know. I don't know if I've held it too long and just thrown the money away or if I should stick with it and wait for it to come back. I look forward to the answer on the show. Thank you.
Well, I think the simple answer is you didn't have buy discipline. And this is always very important. You know, every company, no matter how good, has a reasonable price. And when you allow yourself to get caught up by the story, which I think, you know, Celsius is a good brand with good growth and, you know, is more health conscious and certainly has the ability, I think, over long term to be even a bigger brand than Monster. I think that your heart was in the right place, but you didn't wait and be patient. And that's what's happening now is this stock has fallen dramatically. It was nearly $100 per share just back in, was that late May, early June? And now it's at 39 and change. And at 100 is just egregious, right? You have earnings next year is supposed to be a dollar, or this year is supposed to be a dollar, next year, $1.22. So 100 just doesn't make sense, okay? Now what you're seeing is that growth is expected to slow. Revenue growth for the third quarter is only supposed to be 8%. Earnings actually negative 20%. And so that's where the multiple continues to come down. I actually just started to pay attention to this because it's starting to get into the zone. Now, let me preface that. Just because it's in the zone doesn't mean it's a buy. What it's saying is it's no longer egregiously overpriced. Okay. I do think it's still a bit overpriced. And there's a potential for this to get cheap at some point. And, you know, I think in the 20s it's cheap, but it's not quite there. Okay. So, and the technicals are still not good. So I'm not seeing anything lining up that says, okay, this is the bottom. I'm not seeing capitulation volume or anything like that. I do think it's going to be a good buy at some point. They have a good balance sheet. They have good free cash flow. But the free cash flow yield is still $245 million in free cash flow on a $10 billion company. It's about a 2.5 free cash flow yield. This needs to go down another at least 25% from here. So I have a flag, an alert for this to alert me if the price gets below $30 per share. Then I'm going to relook at it because I do like the brand. It's just a matter of, you know, having that discipline and being patient for the right buying opportunity. So at 30, I'll start looking at it. And if I get any big spikes in volume, I think that would be a sign that a turn could be close. But until then, I'm holding off on Celsius. Now, on Fridays, we generally make time to fit in a quick rundown of some key benchmarks. So let's do that now. The two-year yield was closed the week at 3.91%. That's down a bit from a little over 4% last week, 4.07%. So actually pretty decent move on the two-year on the back of expectations of an imminent Fed rate cut. Now, the 10-year was at 3.80%, the close, down from about 3.9% last week. So pretty decent move there as well. Gold moved up again from about $2,500 an ounce to $2,510. So not a big move, but continued. It's got to march higher. And I do think we get $3,000 an ounce in gold over the next, say, 18 months, maybe sooner. So that I think will continue to march higher. Silver today was nearly $30 per ounce, $29.85. Last week was at $28.78. So you had some strength there out of the precious metals on top of that. So very interesting week. Oil was selling at about $75 per barrel, down a bit from $76.86 at the close last week. Gasoline prices down again, $3.36 per gallon, down 6 cents over the last week. And in California here, we're still paying $4.59, though, only down a penny. So we didn't get much reprieve here. Over in Mississippi, averaging $2.92 per gallon. That's a big gap between what we pay here in California versus Mississippi. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about fossil fuels and energy demand. And what's interesting here is we all know that energy demand is booming, okay? And as of last year, the U.S. is expected to take offline 133 megawatts of coal power by 2035. About 70% of the remaining coal capacity expected to be taken offline between now over the next dozen years. But now the projection is now only 105,000 megawatts, a decline of about 21%. And why is that? Well, after 15 plus years of pretty much flat power demand, you know, our economy becoming more efficient, it's starting to reverse. And a big reason for that, or there's multiple reasons for that. What it's doing is driving to extend fossil fuel plants and their life. A lot of them were planned to be retired, and now they're extending those. Okay, so artificial intelligence data centers, manufacturing, right? All the manufacturing growth and demand, and broader electrification of our electric grid, our EVs, for example, is creating huge increases in demand across the country. Now, data centers alone account for 30% of expected growth in electricity. And coal power has declined over the past 20 years, but that decline is slowing. It's typically been usurped by renewable energy as well as cheap natural gas, but that increasing demand is meaning more baseload power is needed. And so a lot of these coal plants and natural gas plants are getting a new lease on life. Why? Because renewables, they can't meet the 24-hour demands of these data centers. Since the beginning of 2022, 547 fossil-fueled power generators were being scheduled to retire. But as of now, 36% of those have been pushed back. So saying we can't just retire these plants. It's putting too much strain on the electric grid. And so it's not just those natural gas plants, but it's coal ones as well. And coal obviously produces the vast majority of our carbon emissions here in the country. Now, more than 95% of proposed power projects that are in the pipeline are renewable resources. However, the time that it is taking to actually put these in place has doubled since the early 2000s. So it's not like there's this huge pipeline of projects that are going to really allow the baseload power to be taken up by these renewable sources. It's just not happening. And the growing 24/7 demand means that these fossil fuel generated plants are going to continue. And that's why I've said this for a while now, that the whole idea that you can just retire all fossil fuel sources without going nuclear. When I say nuclear, I mean actually producing nuclear power plants. If you don't do that, it's not going to work. You need consistent baseload power. You cannot just run it off batteries. The economics do not work. The science does not work. Okay. And that's why there continues to be 133 natural gas fired power plants under development in the country right now. And so when you sit here, when you look at these companies that are in this space, renewables, companies that produce natural gas and coal, don't think their demise is near. Because it's not. Okay. Now let's go to a live call and talk to Bill in Northern California looking at Newmont.
Yeah. Hi, Justin. I've had I've owned this on and off for a long time, and I started buying it last year and also in the winter when it was, you know, closer to $30. And, you know, I just see gold prices going up. And to me, that looks like even regardless of their internal problems they've had with different locations that they have mines at around the world, it seemed like the price of gold was going to overwhelm that at some point. And I'm just wondering, you know, having a fairly high amount, I don't have an excessive amount of shares, but I'm just thinking, like, at what point should I take, you know, maybe 5-10% profits on this before it starts dropping again? Or do you think it's going to continue this upward trend, if you had to guess?
Well, we own it for clients and we continue to hold it. I think there's, like I said, I think $3,000 an ounce on gold is likely over the next 18 months or so. And obviously the miners are going to benefit, and they're underowned. Not enough people own mining shares, and I think there's a lot more room to run here. So we're not quick to take profits on this name. It was underloved for a long period of time, and I think there's still a lot more room to run. So I would continue to hold Newmont.
That's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now, let's briefly mention the newest KPP Premium newsletter that will be distributed tomorrow. This week in the KPP Insights section, we discuss balance of trade. In the stock section, we mention a global crop protection company and a communications company. And the portfolio management section, we touch on the presidential election cycle theory. So if you're interested in learning more, visit us at investtalk.com and subscribe. And the newsletter will be in your inbox every Saturday. Now let's grab another caller question. You know the number to call. It's 888-99-CHART.
I got a question about rollovers. I got about $100,000 invested in my 401k under T. Rowe Price. And I'm thinking about moving that money and rollover to an IRA. I have Fidelity. I'm trying to find out, would that be a better move to move that to an IRA? That money is actually invested in S&P 500 and small cap index. And just go ahead and move that to Fidelity or put that money to my new 401k, which is in Charles Schwab. I'm not really fond of the new funds that are available in the new 401k. So I was thinking maybe I'm better off using Fidelity instead. Let me know what you think. Please call me back. I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
I love this call because it highlights one of the biggest mistakes that investors make all the time. They take their old 401k money and they roll it into their new 401k. I see it all the time, and it is one of the worst things you can do with your money, because you're basically squandering this precious opportunity to roll that 401k into an IRA. Because now you have to wait again. You have to wait until you move jobs to roll that into an IRA. Absolutely, you should take this money and roll it into an IRA. Now, you already have Fidelity. You know, if you want to keep everything at Fidelity, that's fine. You can do that as well. Now, maybe you want to move to Schwab because now your new 401k is at Schwab, and then you can have everything at Schwab. That's something to think about as well. But no matter what, in an IRA, you're going to have a lot more freedom. And that freedom only happens when you transfer jobs or if you hit 59 and a half and you can do an in-service rollover, which I encourage everyone to do as well. Now, there are some benefits of a 401k from creditor protection, and you can take money out at 55 versus 59 and a half. So, you know, there's something to think about there. But in the worst case scenario, you just keep it at that old 401k and then it stays as a 401k and you invest that way. There's almost no scenario where you should take that old 401k and put it in the new 401k. Especially in your situation, you're not very happy with the investment options in that new 401k. So what are you going to go? Move all this money, this $100,000, into this new 401k that you're not happy with, when you could roll it into an IRA and invest in anything you want effectively? So yeah, you kind of answered your own question, I think. But I love it because it is so important. If you get nothing out of this episode of Invest Talk, you should tell all your friends, all your family, scream it from the rooftops. Never roll your old 401k into your new 401k. It makes no sense in almost any scenario whatsoever. Can't think of one, really. So I hope that answered your question. Thanks for the call. Now let's talk a little bit about globalization or deglobalization. And it's become a mainstream topic. And in 2023, global trade actually fell a little over 1% when total growth of the of GDP grew 3.2%. And the latest data, however, shows that there's a renewed expansion in that trade. But in general, the ratio of what is called of global trade in goods to global industrial production continues to decline. So what they're saying is, okay, what industrial production is out there and how much of that is exported, right, outside of the country, and how much is for internal use. And so when that ratio declines, it's saying more and more of that production is being held locally. And so it's very interesting to see this, because globalization, it's going to come, deglobalization is coming to fits and starts. Okay. It's not going to be this consistent trend. And a lot of it will be nearshoring as well. Not all of it will be onshoring manufacturing completely. So understand this. You'll see some headlines that says, oh, deglobalization is not happening. Well, it's going to come, once again, in fits and starts. And a lot of what's happening too is just supply chains are trying to settle. And that's a big story right now, and why the shift to deglobalization is intact, but it's going to be slow and long. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, and that's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
This is Chris from Atlanta. I had a question about Riley Exploration Permian Incorporated, R-E-P-X. It's something I've had on my watch list for a while that I was going to add to an energy play to kind of supplement my positions in Exxon. Could you just do a dive on this stock and tell me if it's worthwhile or if it's a little too risky of a play, and when I should look to possibly pick it up? Look forward to hearing your answers. Thank you guys for all you do.
All right, looking at Riley Exploration Permian Inc. And as you expect, you probably never heard of this name. It's a small cap, $600 million market cap. And they're in the they're engaged in the business of exploration and production of oil and gas in Kansas as well as Tennessee. So it's a smaller name, but good business. Return equity 23%, free cash flow $101 million. So good free cash flow yield. Free cash flow is, we had it higher, had it lower. Yeah, it is near an all-time high. And what are they doing with that? They're paying out a dividend, 5%, with plenty of room to up that dividend. And they're issuing shares, though. That's interesting. I don't know why they'd be doing that. With such good cash flow, their balance sheet seems okay. I don't hate this. I don't hate it. I think it has a good value here. It's obviously much higher risk than an Exxon because of the lack of diversity of their business. But if you're looking for a small cap play, I think this one's pretty good. So I'm going to give REPX, that is a symbol, Riley Exploration Permian, a thumbs up. Now let's take a look if we can fit one more caller question in now.
Hello, InvestTalk. This is Yannick from Denmark. I have a question about the stock Jackson Financial, JXM. I don't know much about this company. Therefore, I would like to hear your opinion. Is this a safe investment, even though it's definitely not a blue chip stock? Thank you. Bye.
Well, first off, anytime you're talking about equity of any company, it is never safe. Never associate any stock, any company with safe. Not, no matter what. I don't care if it's Procter & Gamble, the biggest blue chip name you can think of, Berkshire Hathaway, whatever. None of that is safe. Okay. It's all shades of aggressive. It's all shades of risky. Some are more risky, some are less risky, but they're all risky, right? Because you are the bottom of the capital structure. That's number one. Now, Jackson Financial, it's a mid-cap name, $6.5 billion market cap. Earnings do continue to go higher. Now, what do? They offer retirement planning, annuity products, and really they're an annuity sales company. And they're doing very well. I've said this before, annuities are selling very well, despite how bad they are. But, you know, so if you want to And it just shows you how, look how great this company is doing. And they're just selling more and more annuities and making a lot of money on it. So it's a very good business and it's growing. And so I have no problem buying something like this. I think it's better than, you know, a mid-sized bank, for example. So might as well earn some money on other people's bad decisions. And, you know, this is a name, return equity 22%, good cash flow, $5.6 billion. So and buying back shares, it's in an uptrend. I have no problem with Jackson Financial. Now let's get to one last question submitted via our YouTube channel. Finite Anarchy says, can you discuss General Dynamics stock? And he looks like he works for a subsidiary, but he can buy it at a discount. And I would say the technicals in General Dynamics is starting to wane, and it's pretty expensive. So I wouldn't be getting too excited about buying shares of General Dynamics. And I would be patient on it. Now, if we get back into the low 200s, now it's around $300 per share, maybe I would start thinking about picking it up. But I don't love the trends, what's happening, obviously, geopolitically. I do think Trump is a slight favorite in the election coming up, and I think it would be maybe a bit less spending on Ukraine, for example. So I would be patient on it. The technicals are breaking a bit in the near term. So that was General Dynamics. Now, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Enjoy your weekend.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.